Support for KNKX comes from Portage Bay Cafe, now offering hot breakfast platters for business meetings and corporate events with delivery throughout Greater Seattle. Portage Bay Cafe emphasizes local organic ingredients from Pacific Northwest farmers and distributors. PortageBayCafe.com.
Welcome back to the KNKX studios. I'm Abe Beeson, and today feels almost like a double bill. Two world-class singers, songwriters, improvisers together, Ann Hampton Callaway and Tierney Sutton, multiple award-winning singers with impressive range and genre-spanning flexibility. Coincidentally, they both have new movie-themed albums out this year. Tierney's screenplay includes 19 songs released this spring in groups of five acts. Ann's Jazz Goes to the Movies has been out for about a year, including a number of jazz standards that premiered in films of the 30s, 40s, and 50s. A celebration of their shared love of music from the silver screen, Technicolor. We are thrilled to welcome back these two friends together in the KNKX studios. Please help me welcome, with Christian Jacob at the piano, Ann Hampton Callaway and Tierney Sutton.
Hello, everyone.
Wow. What an audience. We better be good after all that.
What would you like to start our set with this afternoon?
We're going to start with what we call a wild card moment. That we've never sung this song together. We decided on the key this morning. We sort of kind of mapped it out. Didn't even sing a full chorus, really. Just kind of went for it. So Christian's going to give us the key. And we're going to launch.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful.
It's marvelous.
You should care.
For me. You know, it's awful nice.
Paradise
is what I long to see.
I long to see it too.
You never made my life so glamorous.
You can't blame me for feeling amorous.
It's wonderful. It's marvelous. That you should care for me. You know it's wonderful. It's marvelous that you should care for me.
Ooh, awful nice. You know that it's paradise. It's what I love to see.
You can't blame me for feeling amorous.
It's wonderful.
It's marvelous.
You should care for me.
Do 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 Just like we didn't rehearse it.
Ann Hampton Calloway and Tierney Sutton with pianist Christian Jacob in the KNKX studios. That was wonderful indeed. Great to have you both here. I'm wondering, as for a long time, you were both kind of on opposite coasts. And as we know, you're so busy traveling. When did you first meet?
I don't know how this all happened. I don't really have
I remember the
memory.
First time I heard Ann sing, which was in Los Angeles, during one of those long runs at the Roosevelt Hotel that mm-hmm. you were doing, and you were doing your Ella Fitzgerald show.
Excuse me, you dropped a name. Let me pick that up.
And I'm dropping your name, Ann Hampton Calloway.
Really?
And
I went one of the longest names in show business.
Exactly. And I went to the show because, indeed, she was working with all the guys in my band. And the word is gobsmacked. I just had almost never heard a singer of greater quality than Anne. I was just like, holy cow, can she sing? Just the range and the beauty and the pitch, and she was scatting her butt off on top of it. I was just kind of limp in my seat. I was like, wow, that was really good. Never saw anything quite like that.
Well, meanwhile, I'd already heard her records and I thought she was a genius, and it was wonderful when we got to start to get to know each other slowly through time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
we just sort of became pals more than anything
right.
else over the
and
years.
And cheerleaders of each other. I
sure,
mean, I'm always
absolutely.
Happy when a new Tierney Sutton album came out. And I love the relationship you have with your incredible, the Tierney Sutton band. I mean, it's really one of the most brilliant, I'm sorry, can I speak? Brilliant, creative ensembles where your arrangements become integral to the music you make, and your relationship to each other is integral to the creative force that you give to audiences, whether on record or in clubs and concert halls. I mean, it's a very profound relationship you've nurtured through the years.
And that's really lovely of you to sort of observe that, because I do feel like, you know, everybody in the band has such a specific and beautiful voice. You know, Christian is so phenomenal, and all the guys in the band are. And each of these arrangements is kind of a love child of everybody in the band. And there was one that we talked about doing, actually,
right.
we've been singing together. That's something.
Well, we just started singing last night for the first time.
Yeah, last night we sang it for the first time.
That just means one night.
one night. Yeah, because we didn't do it in the first show that we did in San Francisco last week. This song, this is actually an arrangement, an idea that I came up with when we went to do the screenplay CD. I decided to put out on Facebook a question to my Facebook people. And Anne is, you know, the master of Facebook.
I own stock in Facebook.
She does.
She does. I don't think she sleeps or eats. I think she
Oh, I definitely eat.
Hush.
Sleeping not so much.
Anyway, yeah, sleeping not so much. But I put on Facebook a question, what are your favorite songs from Great American Films? Because the TSB is looking at doing a film CD. And, of course, there were many, many people that mentioned songs by Alan and Marilyn Bergman, of which there are several on the CD, and Alan and Marilyn are friends of both Anne and myself. But the top two songs that were non-Bergman titles were Moon River, of course, and Calling You from Baghdad Cafe. And I thought to myself, I bet I could put those two songs together, which is kind of, I think of it as my superpower of thinking of two songs that may not, like April in Paris, Free Man in Paris, that I did on the Joni Mitchell CD. If the story tells a real story, and if they seem to have something in common. And so I talked to Trey Henry, and he helped me design this arrangement. And it's really beautiful to sing it with two voices, because there's one place in the arrangement where I'm supposed to hold a note, and I do it live, and it kind of comes off strangely as if I'm still holding the note, but I'm singing a new thing. But it depends on the reverb in the room. So it's nice to have an actual human.
Thank you. Well, I'm honored to be your human.
No, it's she's not just any human. Anyway, so this is what we're going to do for you. Desert road from Vegas to nowhere, someplace better than where we've been. A coffee machine that needs some fixing in a little cafe just around the bend.
We're after the
And I am calling you.
Tierney Sutton and Ann Hampton Calloway with Christian Jacob at the piano as our studio audience rubs the chills off their arms. That was a good one. They both have movie music albums out. Ann's is Jazz Goes to the Movies, and Tierney's is Screenplay. Wonderful places to hear songs in a very specific context in the movies. And I wonder if you could talk about some of your cinematic inspirations, some of the movie music that really struck you and sticks with you today. Ann?
Well, I was interested in the relationship between film music and what songs became great jazz standards. And some of these songs that I recorded are written specifically for movies, and some of them were used in movies from Broadway and other sources. I was interested in how during World War II, which was the climate of the birth kind of the Great American Songbook, when our country was at war and the Depression was giving shockwaves to everyone's sensibility and sense of safety, I thought in this time we're living in now where there's just so much anxiety that these songs were beautiful gifts. And so I went back to my old Fred Astaire favorite movies and I picked two classics. And the first song we sang together was from one of my all-time favorite movies that made me a Francophile, American in Paris, starring Gene Kelly. And, of course, I had to do something from Casablanca, the great As Time Goes By. And I wanted to do love songs, because I feel that we are getting further and further away from connecting with each other in a more beautiful, powerful way. And so I just love going into this repertoire and mining it for all the gold that there is in it. Yeah. And I love what you did in many of the more contemporary classics.
Well, it's interesting what she's saying, because one of the things that I noticed over the years is that many of the songs that we associate with the Great American Songbook, by Berlin and Cole Porter especially, actually were from films, not from musicals.
Right.
And many of the songs on your CD are like that, and I love that because it illuminates something. For me, the CD first emerged out of a close relationship that I have with Alan and Marilyn Bergman and wanting to do several of their songs. And we thought about doing a whole Bergman album and then realized all the songs that I had chosen were from films. And because so many of their songs are ballads, we needed some more up-tempo things.
Right.
And so we started to look deeply into film music. And I started to kind of meditate about the function that songs play as characters in movies. So, for example, there's an arrangement that we do of Sound of Silence, and I think of that as just about a character in the film The Graduate. It's presented in its entirety, I think, two times from beginning to end in that film.
Sometimes songs say things that the characters don't know they are ready to say. It becomes almost a subliminal message of things that people are trying to reach but haven't quite. Because the foibles of being human are, so it's almost sometimes like a spiritual voice or of what is calling them.
That's a great idea. And I've spent so much time talking to Alan and Marilyn about the psychology of writing for film. Like when they wrote Windmills of Your Mind for the Thomas Crown Affair, which was the first song they ever wrote with Michelle Legrand and which garnered them their first Academy Award.
That's called beginner's luck, right?
I know. Okay, that's nice. And just to link it even more to film, they met Michelle Legrand because Alan Bergman was playing tennis with Gene Kelly, who had just done a film, and Michelle had done the music for it and said, you should meet this young French guy. And so they played tennis together before they ever wrote a song. And so they made a choice early on. They had done some things on Broadway, but they moved out to L.A., and they really liked the process of doing writing for film, which was different, a different kind of process. And I started to think about that a lot and tried somewhat to emphasize
more modern songs. There's a few older ones, but by and large, screenplay is things after 1950. And so it was.
You
such
mean
a,
there are songs after 1950?
Yeah, there are a few, but they're all Bergman. No, but no. So and it's really, you know, for example, the song "It Might Be You" from the film Tootsie. I mean, I remember watching that film in 1982 when it came out, and getting to the end of that, and hearing that song in the original arrangement, Stephen Bishop, and beautiful gruesome melody, and tearing up and thinking this is just so moving and so beautiful after this film to have this beautiful song that has such a deep feeling to it. And I really felt that those songs deserved new life just the way the Great American Songbook does.
Yeah, it's part two of the Great American Songbook.
Right, sure.
Yeah.
Now, both Tierney and Anne have recorded songs for films. I wonder if you could talk about how you went about recording those songs. Did you get direction from the director? Is like, I need you to approach it this way because of the character, or how does that work?
I had a very interesting experience. I was called by I don't know what the job description is. A woman called me out of the blue in New York and said, "Are you free tomorrow at 1:15?" Yes. Well, Robert De Niro, and I was like, oh my God. Robert De Niro is making a movie, The Good Shepherd, and he wants you to record Come Rain or Come Shine for an important scene in the film. I'd love to do that. So nobody told me he would be there in the studio. And he's a very meticulous director. So, I mean, I've recorded this song. I've sung it countless times. He wanted, I don't know, 35 different versions of the song, and he directed me in each take. He said, "Well, now in this take, let's try this," because he wanted different choices to make sure that the scene had exactly the right resonance. And it was fascinating. And then we had such fun with each other, he decided to put me in the movie. And that was great. So that was
How
a real
cool
learning experience. What about you, working with Clint Eastwood?
I'll see your Robert De Niro, and I'll raise you a Clint Eastwood. All right.
Okay, we keep dropping names. We're
exactly,
picking them up now.
Exactly. We've just got to make you realize how famous we really are, even though no one knows
we're
it.
We're legends in our own minds.
We're really famous, but nobody knows it. We sing jazz, so anyway. But anyway, one day, it was a Wednesday. Uh-huh. And Clint Eastwood called me up and
he called you up personally?
Yeah, he called me up. I picked up the phone and he said, "Hi, this is Clint Eastwood." Well, I knew him.
Did you believe him? Oh, you knew him.
Well,
you
I knew him.
Knew him.
I knew him, and we were getting chummy, you know. And he had started to stalk me a little bit.
Really?
I have to say,
wow.
No, not really.
Getting
no,
a little jealous,
he and his girlfriend were at too. Like every show that I did for about
That's
a
stalking.
6 month.
That's
yeah, for about a 6 month period, and the kicker was we did 3 nights at Catalina's in L.A. And when you work in L.A., you know, the clubs are usually very blasé about famous people coming to see you because you're in L.A. And
Hello,
you know,
yeah.
You work there and famous people come to see you all the time. But Clint Eastwood is a different kind of thing. And I'm sure Robert De Niro would be the same thing. And so the staff was like, "Clint is coming tonight. He hasn't been here in 10 years. And so they came to the first night that we were there, and Christian wasn't playing piano that night. And they decided they wanted to come the second night, too. So they came 2 nights in a row to our run at Catalina. So I knew that. So by
I
this
think
time,
a restraining order isn't.
Exactly. I haven't done that. And so he called me up and he said, "Listen, I'm just wondering if you and Christian would like to come down and see some music that we've been using as temp music for a picture I'm working on." And I said, "No, I got to wash my hair. And my cat has a little colic, and I just have to be here to take care of him." You know? And so we, you know, hauled butt down to Warner Brothers. And then in the end, they screened the entire film for Christian and me with all the producers and everything in the room and Clint. And after the film was finished screening, there were two cues of a cappella, me singing stuff from our records, and one of Christian playing a very simple, beautiful thing from one of his records. And after the film finished, everybody looked at us and said, "Okay, so?" And we said, "Oh my God, they're asking us to score this film."
Wow.
But it took us 24 hours to figure out that that's what was going on and to talk to them. And this was Wednesday. And by Saturday morning, we were in the studio with Clint in real time, with picture running, with him directing each scene.
That's amazing.
And we, as a group, spotted it. Christian wrote beautiful themes. And we used one of the themes that Clint had written, and we recorded for 2 days, and then we had a string session, and I wrote some lyrics, and anyway, so we ended up scoring the film Sully. And then Christian did the next one, too.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Christian did the next film that Clint did, the 1517 to Paris as well. So that's...
Okay, but, you win.
but you know...
Tierney Sutton and Ann Hampton Callaway are here in our studios. They both have new albums out of film music. Christian Jacob here on piano. He's got a new trio record called The Originals. I do want to ask about two wonderful singers working together. Our friend Sarah Gazarek was recently in our studios, and she's working with a new four-piece vocal group that she's really excited mm-hmm. about, and mentioned that, you know, a lot of people think singers can't work together. Now, Ann kind of had a head start with her sister Liz growing up together and singing, and I wonder how you two go about a collaboration of two singers.
Well, I think it's a very fascinating experience because we both have a lifetime of learning and experiencing and cultivating our musical.
Reed, we're old.
Well, I was born 40 and will always be 40, so not. But I do think that, I mean, she was in Europe right before we did our premiere of this show at San Francisco Jazz, and I was emailing, well, what if we did these songs, and what if we, you know, what about this duet possibility? And so it was very interesting. It wasn't until the actual show, day of show, that we sang together the show and had to immediately engage in the ideas that we had and then throw a few away and have new ones. And last night was the first time we did several things. And if we didn't have the expertise and trust in each other, and I think love is really one of the glue of it all. And the audience, I think, can sense that we're willing to put our hearts and our, you know, perfection on the limb. It's kind of like flying by the seat of your Spanx productions.
I think, you know, it's a misnomer that singers can't work together. I mean, I think most of the singers I know, and I did a show with Sarah in LA a couple of months ago, and Kate McGarry, Sarah,
yes,
and
wonderful.
I did a show together.
Yeah.
So I think we as a tribe are actually tremendously supportive to one another, and we admire each other a lot and love each other a lot. So I've always admired Anne and
vice versa. Yeah.
And this is just a really fun expansion of life.
I think also being jazz singers is probably easier to be open to this because sometimes, I mean, I work with many Broadway singers and I've done shows with many kinds of people. I find it's just, I don't have to even think about it because I know you and I will immediately have a language and we're open to anything. And so like just doing Swonderful for the first time.
Right.
It's very hard for some people to do that, and so jazz is the life of spontaneity, and if you live life that way, then anything is possible, especially when you have love as a main ingredient.
Wow, that's really deep. Yeah. and that brings us to our song that we wanted to dedicate to our dads.
Yeah,
because we were talking about both of our dads who had a lot in common, and one of the things that my dad was a real avant-garde thinker, and part of the reason that I have the band that I have is because of my father's ideas of life. He was a profit-sharing guy, and his secretary had a percentage of his law firm, and he paid my mother a child care allowance in the 60s and 70s for taking care
of
him. So he was a real outside-of-the-box kind of thinking guy, and he was a jazz fan, and this is the first song that he ever asked me to sing. He said, you should sing Gershwin.
And this is the song that our family would sing around the piano. And my dad is the reason I fell in love with jazz.
And what movie is it from? Because you know that stuff better
it's
than I.
It's from American in Paris.
And of course it is.
We've given that, we've talked about how the Bergmans got started with Michel Legrand and Gene Kelly. So
Absolutely. It
all comes back full circle.
It does.
Anyway, this is kind of the message of our music, I think.
Yeah, and this the verse to this song is one of the first things I learned. I didn't realize that these jazz standards had these verses that people didn't know, so I just learned this as if it was part of the song.
And
so
it is, yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
The more I read the papers, the less I comprehend the world and all its capers and how it all will end.
Nothing seems to be lasting, But that isn't our affair. We've got something permanent. I mean in the way we care.
It's very clear our love is here to stay. Not for a year, but ever and a day.
The radio and the telephone and the movies that we know may just be passing fancies, and in time may go.
Oh, my dear, our love is here to stay.
Together we're going a long, long way.
In time, the Rockies may crumble, Gibraltar may tumble. They're only made of clay, but our love is here to stay. It's very clear our love is here to stay.
Gibraltar may tumble, they're only made of clay. They're made of clay, but our love is definitely here. It's here to stay.
It's here to stay.
Christian Jacob,
Trini Sutton,
and Hampton Calloway.
What a wonderful day in the KNKX studios. Ann Hampton Calloway, Tierney Sutton with pianist Christian Jacob. Everybody's got records out, so head to the store for Tierney's screenplay. Ann's Jazz Goes to the Movies, Christian Jacob Trio with a new record called The Originals. Thank you all
we'll
so much
tomorrow,
for being
noon,
here.
We'll be here tomorrow noon, so we'll see you then.
Thank you both very much for being here. And thanks to all the members of our leadership circle and our audience today. Your generous contributions and the support of all KNKX listeners make these performances possible. You can connect to our massive archives at knkx.org. Thanks to our studio session sponsors, the Shack Arts Center. Big thanks to Brian Moynihan for his audio production. And that wraps up an amazing trip to the KNKX studios.
Let's hear for Abe. Thank you, Abe.